I got to a place where I cried and all of that kind of stuff, and I felt sorry for myself. And I get to this place where it's like, everything that you've known work-wise, me, I want you to stop. I want you to pause. And we're just going to sit and wait and trust me that there's something coming. And you're not going to know what that is just yet.
Welcome to Distinctly You, where we talk to women who have redefined success at different seasons of change. Today, we'll be talking with Mildred Talabi, a personal branding expert, author, and podcast host. How has her faith in God guided her footsteps both in career and life? And what lessons has she learned along the way? Well, let's get into the conversation. Hello, Mildred, and welcome to Distinctly You.
Hey, Sharifa, I'm so glad to be here and I can't wait to get into this conversation with you today.
Absolutely. So, Mildred, you're an author. You are a LinkedIn visibility coach, but that's not all to you. You're a mom. You do all the things and make multitasking look easy. So share a little bit about your background with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Honestly, it has been a pleasure, you know, getting to know you from the journey we had together on the whole LinkedIn visibility stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about in just a second. But I am. It's funny, at the time of recording this podcast, I am in a funny place of transition, which we'll probably talk about as we go on. But in terms of who I am, how I define myself, I am a wife of one, mother of two wonderful daughters who are primary school age. I am a woman of faith, which has a huge impact on what I do and how I show up in the world, my Christian faith, that is. And yes, I started my career in the media and comms, and I've spent like the past decade or so in the world of personal branding. And over the last 4 years, I've really kind of specialized in helping female leaders to build their personal brand and build their thought leadership, their careers, and their business through being visible on LinkedIn. And that is a something that I absolutely have loved and love, you know, bringing joy and, you know, changing lives in this way. So, yeah, I love it. It's great.
You know, I actually really love what you said about transitioning, because here on this podcast, you know, we talk to women like yourself who are redefining success at different seasons in their lives. And as you know very well, you know, we have different seasons in life. The season pre-kids versus the season when the kids are young, you know, season like myself when the kids are older. It's all different, right? And seasons, as it relates to even our career, as it relates to the things that we hold near and dear, what's important and was really top priority 5 years ago, you know, we evolve as humans. It's different to, you know, what's maybe of top priority today. So when you talk about transitioning and you talk about this new season that you find yourself, how would you define that for yourself?
Yes, it is interesting, because I turned, okay, so with the transition, I turned 40 last year, you know, so I'm somebody who's kind of been very from, I don't even know where it comes from, you know, and many times people ask me, I'm like, I don't know. I've just always been like that. I've been very goal driven, like from a young age, that kind of like high achiever, sort of, I want to do this, I want to take over the world, that kind of thing. And I also had a time pressure on it that I probably put on myself. In fact, I put on myself, you know, by this time, this, by that time, this, you know, that kind of thing. So the first major milestone was when I turned 30. And I had all this whole list of things that I wanted to have achieved by 30. And I couldn't even tick off like one thing on that list, you know. And so I was like, oh, my God, I am such a failure, you know. And that was pretty much how I felt at that stage. But obviously also dramatic, you know, but I came to realize that, all right, it's OK. Let's go again. We've got the next 10 years or whatever to kind of work something out and work on these goals that I wasn't able to. And a lot of them are kind of like, I want to be a millionaire by 30, you know, I want to. So it's like, it's those kind of things. I want a corner office. I want my business to be a seven-figure business, you know. and we probably will talk about this later on, but it was just, there's been a whole shift in the way I view goals, you know, as I've developed and I've grown older. But so turning 40 last year was, again, because 40 is such a big milestone in terms of it is another phase of life. And I remember being 18 and thinking 40-year-olds were like grandmas and granddads, you know. I'm like, and now I'm one of them, you know. And the worst part is like, I'm like, I don't feel like a grandma or a granddad, you know. But I've had in my head for so long that 40 is like such a big age. So turning that such a big age, and again, comparing it to where I wanted to be in life by the stage and falling short, was again like a moment of like disappointment sort of stuff, until I had to shift the perspective. And this is where my faith really kicks in. God had to show me the different perspective, because in the 10 years from that 30 to 40, so much has happened, including having my awesome, amazing, wonderful children, you know, that I have. And I've enjoyed so many different elements of my career and business. And my husband and I have been, you know, married for like forever, you know. So like there's all kind of good things. But I was kind of focusing on the success metrics of be here, earn this, have that kind of thing. And that was part of the thing. But on a more kind of reflective level, that was like a point where it was like, I want to live a more purposeful life, you know? And that's not to say that everything that I've done up until this point hasn't been of purpose, because I've been the kind of person where I follow my passions. I'm like, I believe that life is too short for you to be stuck in something that you hate. And, you know, so I've followed my passion like pretty much throughout my life, but I've always had the sense that I am not yet in my speech marks purpose, like doing the thing that is the world-changing thing that I've been created to do. And LinkedIn coaching has been amazing in terms of the impact that it's had on the women that I've worked with and for myself. But talking about LinkedIn for the rest of my life isn't the picture of my life. So that was all kind of some of the setups. But the long story short, and I've already told it as a long story, but towards the end of last year, I started to get this real distinct feeling that things need to change, that I need to kind of pause what I'm doing because there's something else coming, you know? And I don't know what that something else is. Even to this stage, there's elements of it that's becoming clear as I go along. But it was the way that God gets my attention is when I try to do everything that I've always done. And for this reason, it's just not working. You're doing the thing exactly the same way that you've always done it, but it's just not working anymore. So it's like, okay, hold up, what is going on? You know, and that's where I realized, that's where I came to a stop, not by choice, but it was like God was trying to get my attention, like, Mill, look up, because you've entered a new phase of life and I want to take you somewhere different. And you're not going to get there by continuing to do what you've always done, how you've always done it. So that's the transition that I'm in at the moment.
Wow, Mildred, there's a lot to unpack in what you just said. And first and foremost, you're right. We as women especially put a lot of pressure on ourselves to achieve. And we don't always give ourselves credit. But then at the same time, as we talk about seasons, you also look at, even from the age perspective, things that may have seemed so important. I always make fun of the fact that I remember when I was younger, I always said, you know, I'm going to marry someone that's like 6'3", 6'4", you know, person has to, you know. And I wasn't as focused maybe on the character traits. I wanted a godly person. I wanted a loving person and all those things. But I was like, oh, the person has to, you know, be this height and this whatever. But you know what? As I got older, I realized, yeah, you know, height is good, but the character matters a lot more to me.
A lot more.
Right? And so it's kind of the same things where you're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I want to, you know, be a millionaire by this age and do this by that age. And then as you reflect back, because hindsight is 2020. You look back and you're like, I am a millionaire in so many ways. It may not be the paper money, but I have a wonderful husband and beautiful children. And, you know, like when you start to count those blessings, you know, your health and your sound mind and all that goes with that, you're like, I'm truly blessed, right?
And
But I think, like you said, as we grow, we start to evolve, and the things that matter more and the things that we count as success have more substance to it. Not to say the material things aren't important, but they're not the focus anymore, right? And I think that's what I'm hearing from you. And I totally agree. And also, as a woman of faith myself too, I completely concur with you in knowing the ways God speaks to us and being able to be obedient to that, because I can speak from my personal experience that, you know, when one was younger, I'm sure there were times you experienced things where it was like, maybe it's not working the way it should, but you're like, no, I'm going to still push through anyway.
Oh God,
right?
Yeah.
But you learn as you go along that, okay, it's time to wait, right? And to listen. So I'm very excited to see where God is taking you. But even with that, though, as you are on this journey of transition right now, what are some of the things that you are learning about yourself that other people who are probably facing a time of transition can maybe learn from or look for?
Good. Yeah, there are things that I'm learning in the process. But just to go back a little bit to what you said about so about this whole thing of like measuring the wrong metrics, so to speak. And this is where, and the reason, and one of the reasons I introduce myself now as a woman of faith, and there'll be some stuff that I'm changing on the outside, you know, soon, which will all be announced in relation to this, but is because that is such a huge part of who I am in terms and how I interpret life. And one of the things that I realized when I got to that 30 and I passed that point and it was like, oh, I wanted all of this. One of the reflections that came out of probably the 10 years after that is that I actually turned around and I said, God, thank you that you did not give me the things that I asked for when I asked for them, because that would have given me a completely different life that would not be the life that I love and enjoy now, you know? So one of the things, because I was always kind of career driven, like ambitious, high achiever sort of stuff, I probably would not have been the mom that I am today, you know, had I experienced some of this financial success and career success that I had been wanting at that point of my life. Now, my children, oh my God, and my husband and my children, I mean so much to me. My family is like a place of peace and grounding for me. It's like when everything else is going out there, I come in and I close the door and I get a hug from my youngest. My youngest is 7, she's about to turn 8, and my older one is 9 and she's 10 this year. It's like, and I get that hug or I have those conversations with them. I'm like, I would never trade this for any of those material things that I put on my list, you know, that I wanted by this age and by that age. So it's like a big part of, and this is a big part of the walk of faith as well, is trusting that God, for the thoughts that I have towards you, the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, that, you know, trusting that God has your best interests at heart. Just like as a parent, I've got the best interest of my children at heart, even though sometimes they don't look like it, you know. So this is part of the learning in this stage that I'm in now is, I'll be honest with you, Sharif, but like in the beginning of it, when everything kind of hit a pause, ran about towards end of October, and I was like, right, I'm just going to try and pick up and part of it as well is like, okay, I know that I need to re-enter the world of employment, you know, as well. You know, so that's another thing. I'm going to re-enter the world of a business thing fully isn't the thing I'm supposed to be doing fully right now. And I was like, right, I know what I'm doing. I used to have a business helping people get jobs. I know, as usual, independent, get on with it. Right, bam, bam, bam. Let's do what I normally do. Even that wasn't working. Literally nothing was working. Not my business, not the career end, nothing. And it was literally, I've been through like the last few months has been what I can only describe as a stripping, you know, a stripping of like when you get to a place where it's like, and I got to a place where I cried and all of that kind of stuff, and I felt sorry for myself. I watched TV for too long and ate rubbish and sat on the cover like, what is my life? Because work has been such a big part of me for so long. And I get to this place where it's like, everything that you've known work-wise, me, I want you to stop. I want you to pause. And I know I'm not going to tell you what's next. You're just going to sit and wait and trust me that there's something coming. And you're not going to know what that is just yet. So this is the place where I've been at. And so it's been a place of forced rest, you know. And for a lot of people, COVID did this for people because we were so... like, we're so busy, most of us, as you said, especially as women, we're wearing like all these multiple hats, we're doing this, we're doing, we're so busy. And sometimes it's like in that busyness, you might look up and another 4 years has gone by. You know, you look up again and 10 years have gone by, but you've never had the time to just kind of pause, reset and see that, am I still on the pathway that I'm supposed to be? Am I even on the path that I'm supposed to be anyway in the first place? And this is what, this is the learning and the what this transition and is teaching. Like, one of the things that, as I said, it's like realizing that all, I was looking back at all the goals. This is for the first time, 2024 is the first time I entered a year with no goals. Literally, no goals. Nothing on my vision board. Nothing like, no, I'm going to achieve this by this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to create nothing. Nothing. And that is so unlike me, you know, but it was so necessary and it was all part of this stripping bare of like, just kind of, God, I'm laying it all down in front of you. I'm not going to write anything on my tablet that you haven't put there. But one of the things that about going into this year with none of those usual goals, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having goals of like business goals or money goals, or nothing wrong with them at all. You know, this is for me, for where I am, for where I was, and for how I've kind of lived my life. So the goals this year, and I started this year with a blank slate, and no New Year resolution, do this, buy this, nothing. And as the January went on by, things started to pop into my heart as in, actually, these are the things that I need to be focusing on this year. And one of the key things from that is relationships, you know? Relationships. So like one of my only goals this year, you know, is relationships, my friendships. I'm talking my immediate family, my girls, my husband, that's all good. But like I've got sisters and brothers and in-laws and all of this kind of stuff. My mom and my dad are still alive. I thank God for that. It's like, and my friends, you know, that I haven't sown as much time into as I would have liked and as I probably should, because I've been busy. You know, and I gave them bits here and there, but it's like relationship. This is the year where I'm going to pick up when you call me, you know, like that kind of thing. And I've been, and having like such is, so that's like one of the goals and other things like more like quality time and having like these non-material goals have been like such a breath of fresh air because it's been like, wow, I don't feel this pressure of the grind of like constantly like, and the thing about being a high achiever, you get to that target, maybe you miss it or you get close, whatever, and then you celebrate if that for like a minute and then you're on to the next target, you know, and then it's like, okay, what's the next goal. So it's like constantly running, and the last few months I haven't been running, I've barely been walking, you know, and it has actually got to the place where it's refreshing and enjoyable, and I'm like, I'm loving this. And I can see things differently now than I couldn't before when I was so busy chasing that next goal and next goal and next goal. Now it's like, okay, I'm in a better place spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, all of it, you know, and it's just because of this forced rest period that I've been on and we're still in. So this is fresh, like in the middle of the transition, Sharifa, we're having this conversation.
No, I really love what you just said. And it resonates with me because, you know, I truly feel like it's at moments where we are facing, I don't know, whether it's the storms of life, because life kind of goes in ups and downs. But those are the moments where we truly look up And we're like, it's God's way of like getting our attention to really refocus us, but also being in a place where you yourself are putting yourself to be obedient to that is huge. And I think it's really key. And I know that just hearing what you're saying right now, I too can relate to times where I've had shifts in my life that some may have been purposeful and others may have been forced. But one thing I can say, looking back as well, is that everything that one has done or one does in their lives, nothing is wasted. I find myself today having to use something that was like a tidbit in my life years ago that I thought, oh, that was such a waste of whatever, especially as opportunities presents itself that way.
Yeah. So LinkedIn, or no, probably not, I won't say LinkedIn, but visibility is always going to be something that I preach. And I stand behind. And I think it's, you know, I think we all have somebody, at least one person that our lives can impact and has impacted. And, you know, when we're visible, we expose people to the gifts and the talents that God has put inside of us for the purpose of other people, their benefit. You know, so I really believe that it's important that we are visible. Now, LinkedIn is an awesome platform to do that on in terms of as a professional person, you know, of course, women are the audience that I work with primarily. Now, in terms of how it's changing and announced and also the relationships that I built up. So it's been like the last 4 years, just over 4 years since I made the commitment, started posting daily, and from there built my audience all of that, and you know, really coached all these different amazing women that I've got to meet, like yourself, Sharifa. So those relationships are always going to be there because I love people, you know, and that's something that in the midst of all the material stuff, like I've been collecting people for all my life, and I love that side of things. I absolutely love that. So that will always stay. But how showing up on LinkedIn. So as I said, I put a video out about this just last week, you know, about how I am no longer going to be posting every day on LinkedIn, you know, which I did prior to that every single weekday I did for over 4 years, and including some weekends too. And in that time, it was never a burden. I absolutely loved the process, and LinkedIn gave me a place and an outlet to, you know, use my voice, you know, to make all these amazing connections, to share what I know in my head. It's like, I need to share stuff. So there's always going to be an outlet. There's always going to be a book, a podcast, something. I've got things to say. You know, LinkedIn has been a fantastic platform for that. But in that transition, because again, when you're transitioning and you just try to continue to do what you're doing, it's like you're not giving yourself that space or that clarity to really see what else is going to emerge, because you're still busy, you know. So this is another thing that emerged from this transition process. It was never my intention in the beginning, but it was like, okay, I need to step back on the daily posting on LinkedIn. So this is my first full week of, well, it's almost a full week, my first week of not posting daily on LinkedIn. I was like, oh, this is actually quite great. I like this freedom of like just, if I want to pop in like a random time in the day and on LinkedIn, I can do that, you know, without all the stuff that I teach about how to engage properly. So, but this is where I'm at in my journey. But for somebody listening to this who is at a place where it's like, you're not yet visible on LinkedIn, or you're not as visible as you should be, I would 1000% encourage you to start being visible. So I've got my book, as you know, Sharifa, it's called Start Being Visible, which I updated late at the beginning of the year. But all of that is still going to be going. I'm still going to have all the resources that I created to help. That's still available. You can access that via my LinkedIn profile and my website, because all that work for the last 4 years isn't suddenly going to be like, right, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to, you know, switch it up, because people can and now still benefit. That element will stay. But I am very, very, very much encourage you, if you're listening to this and you haven't yet tapped into being visible on LinkedIn, please do, you know, you just don't know where that journey is going to take you as you start showing up and sharing bits of your skill, your expertise, your talent, and all of that with the audience that's there waiting for you already.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the area of visibility, I will say that even though you focus primarily on LinkedIn, I find that a lot of what you taught translates across the board beyond LinkedIn in terms of visibility in all spectrums. So I will definitely put the information regarding your book in the show notes so that anyone who, you know, is interested in becoming more visible on LinkedIn and even beyond that, a lot of the principles that Mildred put in her book apply across the board. So yes, I do have a copy of that book and it's fantastic. So I will say also, Mildred, that in addition to that, I know you also have podcast as well, that you, you know, were interviewing a lot of women in the area of visibility. And I'm curious, you know, is that also on pause for a little bit as well during this time? Or is it something that you are also, from a transition perspective, maybe it might evolve into something else?
Sharifa, you've done ask me a question that's gonna make me give you an exclusive on this podcast. You know, you're gonna get an exclusive on this podcast. So yeah, as you said, as you rightfully said, I started the Start Being Visible podcast in October 2023, and I absolutely love it. It's an evolution of what different amazing women on their journeys and to visibility and their career and their business. So that transition into the podcast in October 2023, I absolutely love the podcast medium. It's my, I binge on podcasts. I listen to a whole load of podcasts and I love communicating via podcasts. So that's why I started it. Now we've done season one and season two of the podcast. I literally wrapped season two, which went out live just last, was it last week? Time is going so fast. Yeah, season two wrapped last week. And season two, I had done as a live podcast in terms of we were going live on LinkedIn every Wednesday evening at 6 to do the podcast recording live in front of a virtual audience. And then it went on a podcast after. So the podcast was one of the things I was like, I love doing this podcast, but I've been feeling... And again, Sharif, I know you didn't bring me on here to be preaching and stuff, right? But this is all the stuff that's in my heart. So I've got to, it'll be dishonest of me not to tell you it exactly as it is, you know. And the reason I say that, and then I'll come back to that question, is part of the thing that I realized, and this is part of the changes as well that that started from about last year. So I realized that it's like I've been a Christian since the age of 19. I became a Christian at 19. And God's been part of my life. Like I'm the kind of person, if I'm gonna commit to something, I'm in. You know, I'm either in or I'm out. None of this in-between stuff, right? Life is too short for that. So I've been in with Jesus for a long time. And I've always known I've been called to what's called the marketplace in terms of in Christian words. That's what we say. Like, as in my work wasn't to be in church. You know, like, you know, doing whatever in church, is to go out there, because I've always had this thing for the career and, you know, as I said, ambition, achieving stuff. So I've always known that that's where my purpose and my ministry was, to be out there. So over the years, I've been able to build on that and get influence, you know, influence on different platforms as a result. Some of that, as I said, through LinkedIn, I've had to be able up an influence there, become a top voice, over 50,000 followers. And I've always been really somebody like, authenticity matters to me. That's what I preach. I say to people, you have to put your authentic personal brand out there. Like, that's how you're going to connect with people, your personal brand, who you are as a whole. And for about a year or so, I was wrestling with this. And I was like, there's an element of me that I don't put out there as much, but it's such a big element of me that it's actually not authentic for me not to talk about it as much openly. And that's my faith. I was like, my faith, my Christian faith, is part of my personal brand. And that was like, when that dropped for me, it was like, okay, so now we're going, let's go. Because I can't tell you that this is my personal brand and tell you about all aspects of my life without telling you about the biggest part of my life that actually shapes who I am and how I show up in the world. So this has been the transition. So from about last year, this whole thing of like, my faith is part of my personal brand. And I was like, okay, God, you've given me this influence and this platform. How can I use this for your good? Like, how can I do more with this? And fast forward, going back to the question that you've asked me, when I started the podcast, I love and I do love having conversations with women, you know, about their lives and all of this kind of stuff. But I find that the podcast, even though I've called it Start Being Visible, and it is, and it's about visibility and all of that. Over the months, I was like, there's so much more I want to talk about that I haven't given myself the freedom to do on this podcast because it's based around visibility and careers and business. I am a wife. I am a mother. You know, I am a friend. I am like, there's so many areas of my life that I want to talk about and other people's life that I can't do freely on this podcast. So the very long way of answering your question is that Start Being Visible is staying as a podcast, but it's evolving. And the evolution is that it's actually going to become a faith-based podcast, which is going to cover all kinds of topics and issues, but from a faith perspective. And, you know, it will be primarily women, but I can even bring on men. And there's people who have amazing stories from a faith perspective. And I'm like, I would love for the world to hear what you've got to say, but I haven't had that platform to do that until now. So when we relaunch the season 3, that's what it's going to be. Wow. There you are. Exclusive.
Wow. Oh, so exciting, Mildred. I can actually see it. As you were saying it, I can see it. So take that as confirmation. I can actually see it because you yourself have an amazing personal testimony about how God healed you. And I remember you've shared this on LinkedIn, and during the anniversary of that testimony, you tend to post about it. And I would love if you're open to sharing that, for you to share it as well here, because I can so see having such a magnitude of a testimony like that and giving other people the opportunity to share theirs, because it inspires hope for other people, especially at times when they feel hopeless. And I had the privilege of interviewing someone, I think it was Kiana Cornelia. I interviewed her this second season of this podcast, and she talked about her testimony that led to the career she has now. Mind-blowing. Definitely want to check out. And I will say, I can so see your podcast's evolvement, and I am excited and look forward to season 3 for you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Yes, it is. As you mentioned, I do have my own testimony. It's so funny because when I did become a Christian, I had one of these like regular speech mark stories. I didn't have anything trans, you know, I wasn't like hooked on drugs for 10 years or like whatever. I'm like, I used to think like, oh God, you know, my story is just like, you know, just normal. You know, it's just normal. So, but listen, and I heard someone else say this on the podcast, like anybody who finds faith, you know, and you go from before and after, you do not have a normal testimony, whatever the circumstances, because you were once dead and now you're alive. It doesn't matter what level of deadness you were at. You were dead. We're all equally dead, you know. So I was dead and now I'm alive. So, but anyway, and I'm literally alive today, but 4 years ago, September 2019, well, leading up to before September 2019, in May 2019, I woke up one day. It was during the day. I woke up going about the day as normal with the girls, with, you know, in the house. And then sometime in the afternoon, I felt like this really like this pain in my neck area, back of my head, neck area that I've never felt before. You know, I used to have like persistent headaches years before that, like migraines on and off, but I hadn't had it for at least a good 6 months to a year. So I was like, and it felt different from that. This was like worse. So I was like, huh, what is this? Did I like twist my neck when I came out of bed and didn't feel it until like hours later or whatever? But anyway, this pain was excruciating, you know, and I took the regular pills. I tried to take some pills. I tried to lie down, see if it would go away. It would go away. This way it didn't pass. And then that pain persisted, not just for that day, but literally every single day for 3 months, I was in pain every single day. And the level of pain it was, I would not wish it on my worst enemy. It was like, and it would be there lingering. But then every like maybe a couple of hours, it would be like almost I was having a seizure. It would grip this area of my head. If you're listening on the podcast, it's like the back of my neck, head area. It would just grip it, and I would be like just frozen, you know, just shaking like, oh, until it passes. So, and there's one time I remember I literally fell down in front of my kids. They were like really little at the time, and they were terrified. Like, what's happening to mommy? And I had to call their dad. You know, and I didn't know what was happening. I sought help. I went to the doctors. I went to accident emergency many times. They did all kinds of checkups, prescribed all sorts. Nothing helped. Nothing was helping. Eventually, I went to an osteopath because I was like, you know, I can't take this pain anymore. I was living in chronic pain on a daily basis. I went to an osteopath. He twisted a few things around that area, and I had some temporary relief for a little bit, never fully gone, but just it was a little bit better than any other thing that any of the doctors had prescribed. And then what happened was I had to keep seeing them regularly, but at this point the doctors, the hospital, had given me an appointment to see a neurosurgeon in November. So remember, this started in May. And so my appointment was in November. So this was months later. I had to wait on for an appointment. One day I'm driving to work. I was working part-time. I wasn't working, it was full-time, but I've always had a job in my and the business together. So I was going to work in a contract role, and I was driving on the motorway, and I remember like feeling really funny. And as I'm driving, I go to down these narrow country lane type of roads where the cars are speeding past me in the other direction, and I could only see them after they'd gone. It was like everything was blurry, and I was like, what on earth is happening to me? And I didn't know. I was feeling hot, I was feeling feverish. Ended up driving into the car park. Somehow I made it into the car park of the workplace. And I tried to call one of my workmates. And afterwards, she told me I left her some garbled message on the voicemail. But she just knew something wasn't right and she could pick up car park. So they came, found me in the car park. I'd collapsed, door open, vomit coming out, fainted. Don't know what was happening. So they took me to an ambulance to a hospital that was nearby, and they did some checks on me, and they were like, okay, we think that there's a problem here, but we're going to have to take, because they're a specialist for when it comes to head stuff. So they took me to another ambulance to this hospital, ended up at the hospital, St. George's Hospital, and they were like, after some time of doing tests, my husband and wife, that they're really sorry, but we found a brain tumor. You know, you have a brain tumor. And actually, you can't go home. You need to stay in the hotel, not hotel, in the hospital until this is like, and we need to operate. So I literally went from going to work on that day to like, I can't come home. And I ended up staying in the hospital for a month. Missed my daughter's first day at school because at the time my oldest was starting primary school, missed all of that kind of stuff. And I just spent like, there was 2 weeks preparing me for the surgery and then 2 weeks for the surgery after that recovering. And it was like a big, fat, massive, what on earth is this? Like, is you don't hear of people having brain tumor, let alone it being you. You know, so it was all a bit of a daze. But I think I remember one of the biggest things I felt when they told me that I had a brain tumor was relief, because the pain I had been living in up until that point was excruciating and it was unexplainable. But it's like, at least now, okay, so now this is why this has been happening. So now once you know the cause, at least there'll be a solution. So that was like the biggest thing was relief. And then after that, it was shock. It was like, wow, you know. So, but yeah, that was a pretty big moment in my life. And after all the surgery and everything, it took a long time. It took about 8 months for me to myself, including learning how to walk again and, you know, without passing out and blacking out and all the rest of it. And being able to drive again, all of that kind of stuff. It was a long process of rehabilitation, but we got there. And today I'm so grateful to God. I'm happy to say that I'm here. I'm alive. I am well. You know, my brain is healed. So yeah, it's amazing, really. It's amazing. You'll never know what people go through just by looking at them. So this is why I do want to, as I said on the podcast, I want to share some of these stories that we don't quite know about the people that we might see around us.
Wow. You know, I'm just hearing you share that testimony. Having read it is not the same as hearing you actually share your story. And thank you so much for sharing that. You are truly a living testimony to God's goodness, His mercy, and His healing power. And thank God for you. And you are here for a purpose. And I know that you are going to fulfill that purpose. And that purpose has already started to impact many people's lives. And I can't even imagine how many more lives it's going to impact as a result of your obedience. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mildred, for sharing that with us. And what an amazing note to be able to end on. And I just have to say that, you know, just even hearing your testimony, for anyone listening to this, we all go through our different journeys in life. We all go through the ups and downs in life. But at the ending of it all, God truly has a purpose. And even things that don't seem to be the best, that you might say, why me? I truly believe that God has the ability to still work it out together for your good in the end, and not just yours, but for other people's good as well. And so, you know, today's conversation, Mildred, has really been one of not just transition, but one of purpose, one of living out one's purpose, even when it's not specifically clear. And so I thank you for that, because, you know, purpose really is about us living out our lives, living out the destiny that the Lord has for us. And sometimes, you know, we don't know where the twists and turns take us. But at the ending of the day, we still know that we're going to get to where we're supposed to. And so I appreciate you for sharing your journey, your authenticity, your transparency with us. And I'm just excited for what God has for you next. So is there any final words you'd want to share in terms of for this podcast today? Maybe something I didn't ask you that's on your heart that you want to share?
No, I just love what you're doing with this podcast, Sharifa. I really do. And it is distinctive. You know, and it's wonderful to have a place that I can share so openly. And that's because of the platform that you've created here. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come here and to share my story and for the work that you've been doing with the podcast, with the coaching that you do. So it's just, yeah, I think you deserve to be celebrated as well. So keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Mildred. And for anyone that may need to reach out to you, what's the best way to be contacted?
You can still find me on LinkedIn, you know, although I might take a little bit longer than normal to respond than I used to, but you can still find me on LinkedIn. You can also, if you do want to get a copy of my book, Start Being Visible, you can pick up one from Amazon. Or you can get it from my website, startbeingvisible.com/book. That's all you need to know. And that's where the details, startbeingvisible.com is my site. That will give you details on my podcast as well, if you want to sign up to that when the new season launches. And yeah, you can reach out to me through there, the contact form, and there through LinkedIn. I'm on the other social media platforms as well. So feel free to reach out, whatever's best for you.
Fantastic. We'll put that information out here as well. Thank you again, Mildred, for this awesome conversation. And we're just so honored to have spoken to you right here on Distinctly You.
Thanks, Sharifa.